opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott.
Good morning.
Good morning. It is the 2nd of November. Yesterday was the gateway into... Yesterday, the 1st of November.
Gateway.
It's the gateway into the holiday season.
Mm.
To all of these things are going to be happening over the next 2 months, including the Marine Corps Ball, which is a week from tomorrow. What's today? The 2nd. Yeah, a week from tomorrow. It's going to, we still have some tickets left, but you have to be quick. You know, we always save a couple tables. So you go to Eventbrite. You go to Reading and you go to the Marine Corps Ball. They're $35 a piece. That includes dinner, music, dancing, birthday cake, and a great ceremony. If you're interested in doing that, and join us. And no, you don't have to be a veteran, and no, you don't have to be a Marine. We welcome everybody there to share our birthday with. So, good morning, Liam.
Good morning.
Liam's going.
I am going. I'm bringing my girlfriend.
Oh, how
cute. We finally
get
to meet her.
Finally, I know. She drops by sometimes, but you guys are never here.
Yeah, we're never here. Yeah.
So who knows? You know, we're here, but we're not here. We're in and out. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what happens from a civilian's aspect of it. You know, it's a lot of beautiful pomp and circumstance. Now, I don't know, pomp sounds pompous, so I don't really like to use that term, but it's tradition.
It's a military, traditional military.
Exactly.
Marine military.
Right. So my parents are coming up, and I said, you know, just, this is not where you leave the table and run off and go play, because it's at Wind River. I mean, you've got the bagpipers that come in, which is absolutely beautiful. It's very traditional that
pipes
way.
And drums, yep.
And then you have the birthday cake, the tradition, what they talk about is not when you just say, oh, I have the oldest and the youngest Marine in the territory come in.
The youngest Marine's coming from Wairika. He's just graduating. I think he graduates tomorrow from boot camp.
Yeah.
So he's coming in.
That's always wonderful. And then there's a great, always a wonderful keynote speaker. And it's a really feel good about respecting and paying tribute to how many years now?
247 years.
247 years of those Marines that have been throughout the world and have gone into places and don't even know what they've done and on missions in order to help not just our country but other people as well. And so we just respect and admire that so much.
It's just a ceremony. There's no politics at all involved with it. None at all. We read General Lejeune's message about why we have a Marine Corps Ball from 1921 or something like that.
And you respect tradition.
It is. It's a tradition. It is a tradition.
And so many traditions are going by. I don't even want to go there.
If you do want to go, and we still have, we always save a couple of tables, 10 to a table. That you can just go, like I said, go to Eventbrite and go to Eventbrite Reading and then just search for the Marine Corps Ball on November 10th. $35 a ticket. I think they add a couple bucks because it's Eventbrite. If you have problems doing that, give me a call. 530-605-4565, and we'll get you set up.
All right. Currently 40 degrees in the downtown studio. Showers likely today with our temperatures just our highs are 55. Yes, I've got on my fur boots today. It just feels like that. And turtleneck. So it just, boom, it happened that fast. Slight chance of thunderstorms tonight, perhaps. Areas of frost with overnight lows of 35. That may mean pull in your plants.
That means, Liam, cover your windshield
and
tonight.
I still have my pads outside, you know, like for the furniture. So I don't know. Areas of frost on Sunday with a high of 60 on Thursday. Thursday night, overnight lows of 40. Friday, partly sunny, 65. Saturday, showers with 80% chance of showers. So just get ready for that. 55. And Sunday, the high will be 59. So it looks like we've got cool weather and misty, if not rain, And the weather is brought to you by a veteran-owned business, Shasta Gas Propane, located in Anderson, where senior and veteran discounts are always welcome. Always doing their things, yeah, wonderful things in the community to help support our community and our veterans and seniors. 365-3793.
Okay, I'm going to tell a story that we're going to take a real early break because we have Anne Marie here to talk with us. On things that are going on this month, in a very patriotic month. There's this guy named Ross Chastain. Have you heard of him? He's a NASCAR driver. And he did something that was so incredible. And he wanted to get in the top four of this last week in Martinsville. So he did something that nobody can ever remember being done. He put his car on the wall, and he floored it. And it was literally from inside the car. You've seen this, Liam, right? It was ripping his fender off, and he went past people. And you should hear the comments by the other drivers.
Oh, yeah.
They were just, I mean, it wasn't like, oh, he, you know, oh, bad move. No, they were going, I can't believe I'm seeing this. And it was just an incredible move. You can see it on YouTube. You can, you know, if you see Ross, was it Ross Chastain? It's worth watching this 2 minutes of video to listen to what the other drivers are saying. A lot of it's bleeped out because, you know, it was because his own crew chief goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "That was bleeping awesome, man!" You know, and the other drivers are going, "Did he do that? I've never seen that before."
Well,
anyway,
the tech nut,
he is now in folklore of NASCAR.
Okay, I'm just saying that the headlines say NASCAR driver stuns racing world with a move learned from Nintendo GameCube.
He said he did it when he was like 8
what?
Years old. He said he saw it when he was like 8 years old. Yeah, you can do this. And so he did. He put it on the rail. He put it on the wall and chewed up the side of his car. But it got him past people, and it slingshotted. He was able to slingshot out and get in between two other cars. And now he's qualified for the big race, the championship race. He kind of drives like you do. I've seen you come out of there. I see you come off the wall here in the alley and slingshot yourself out in the traffic.
I'm a pretty good driver.
Yeah. He said that growing up, he played on the GameCube, I played it all the time. I never knew I could get away with it, though, but it actually worked. I did that when I was 8 years old.
And now he's driving a car 145 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Down. Okay. All right. Hey, look, we're going to take a quick break here. And this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank's been around for like 15 years. It's a local bank. They have been moving local dreams forward since the day they opened. They're our bank. We're very satisfied with the service we get there and how they take care of their customers and their neighbors. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back.
Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to...
Hello, Shasta County. Chris Kellstrom here once again. I'm running for District 5 Supervisor, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this November. I'm not a career politician, nor do I plan on ever becoming one. I am a common-sense Shasta County native who has over 40 years of customer service experience and a background in business management. I know how to get things done and treat people fairly. I will admit I lack political experience, but I consider that a good thing in this day and age of career politicians. The current man in the White House has decades of political experience, as do many of our so-called leaders in this state. Personally, I prefer common sense over political experience, and that's what I bring to the table. We have enough career politicians in this world, and I think serving in county politics should be one civic duty, not a career path or stepping stone to higher political office. I will push for term limits for the Board of Supervisors, and I'll refuse the retirement package on day one to prove my intentions. I believe we will get more done if a supervisor has only one or two terms in office instead of 20 years of empty promises. A vote for Chris Kellstrom is a vote for term limits. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Reading loves seeing new people and families move here, looking to join our community. But when those same people run for office telling us their big city ideas can unlock the untapped potential of our home, they're wrong. It's a shame they feel that way and can't see what makes our community so special. If untapped potential means bringing San Francisco to Reading, then it's better we just leave that keg untapped. Re-electing Michael DeQuisto and voting for Marcus Pardon will make our community great. And they're going to do the work needed to safeguard our home, paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto.
Hello, this is Nadine Bailey, and one of my favorite quotes is policy, not politics. I've spent my life working on policy issues like forestry, water, and private property rights. That's why I support Kevin Cry. We need someone that understands that private property rights are not about who your friends are. I know this because I have friends on both sides of this issue. We need a strong leader who will stand up for property owners. Because next time it might not be a well-funded property owner that can afford to hire an attorney. Next time it might be your small business that government comes after. Please vote for Kevin Cry for supervisor.
I am Kevin Cry, and as your District 1 supervisor, I commit to being open and will always take responsibility for my decisions. When my opponent voted to take away the property rights of our local tribe, it threatens all property owners' rights. Shasta County deserves to have a leader that will put all people first. This November 8th, vote Kevin Cry. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Kevin Cry, Shasta County Supervisor, District 1.
Voting is your right and civic duty. It is important to know who is running for office and to know the definition of proposed measures that are set to appear on the ballot. Read up on political issues and figure out where you stand. Get out and talk to people and learn more about who could represent you and your interests. Attend local forums involving political candidates and find out if their interests align with yours. Be informed. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
I'm Max Steiner, the Democratic candidate for Congress here in CD1. I am a combat veteran and a political moderate. I am pro-timber, pro-gun, pro-choice, and pro-America. I am not a typical woke Democrat, and I am not a career politician. My legislative priorities as your representative would cut across party lines. We need to protect the fundamentals of our democracy. We must reduce fire risk by thinning our forests, strengthening the timber industry, and hiring more firefighters. We need to build more dams to reduce the impacts of climate change. We should codify Roe v. Wade into law. Finally, we must ensure security abroad with a strong military and security at home with strong police forces. We need to make big changes in Washington. If we keep voting for the incumbents, nothing will ever change. We need politicians who will put principles over party, politicians who will say no to the far left and the far right. We need politicians who will truly put America first. In November, I would be honored to earn your vote.
I'm Max Steiner, and I approve this ad paid for by Max Steiner for Congress.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Yeah.
Welcome back to our Wednesday edition here on KCNR, the 2nd of November, 7:18 in the morning. Good morning, everybody. This portion of the show is brought to you by
Chester Regional Medical Center. Please finish that up.
Go ahead.
No. Is one of the nation's highest rated. I was just going to read that part.
Do it.
For the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Service. Okay. Shasta Regional Medical Center is one of the top 50 cardiovascular hospitals, one of the highest rated hospitals by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. They're becoming a teaching hospital this coming year when they're bringing in 24 residents who are going to be training in internal medicine. All of these things are happening, and for one reason, it's to improve the health care in Shasta County. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here.
Hey, we were just talking about the NASCAR phenomenon race that happened, and we are with a very special guest this morning, Anne Marie Fuller. Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for welcoming me in.
Absolutely. You're here to talk about Patriotic Days and a lot of things that are going to be going on. So it seems like, we brought you in because we wanted you to share with our listeners some functions and things like that that are going on. But here's the crazy thing. You bring in, as we're talking about this guy who pulled this maneuver, which has never been done, that you actually have written a column and have been a participant, if you will, in a real NASCAR race. So let's talk about, you wrote this article about what the racing profession is like, the day in the life.
Yes, I did a day in the life of a race car driver, and they harnessed me and strapped me in, helmet, everything, the whole shebang, and it was the only time in my life that I've gone 125 miles per hour.
What'd that feel like on your face?
Very quick.
Yeah. I just wonder if it pulled you back.
You got a full face mask on there, like you did.
Yeah,
Was an experience.
Yeah, it is quick.
When did you do that?
I did it a few years back.
Right. And so what was your takeaway?
It was a lot of fun. Not the profession for me, mind you. People say I drive like a grandma, but I did quite enjoy the experience.
What got you involved as being a columnist?
So I've been a columnist for about 20 years now, and I just always found the idea of seeking the truth, presenting the facts, and I have a brain for history. I'm one of those people, I have so much trivia in my brain. I'm great at parties, but besides that, it's about what I got.
But I think that segues into today, your patriotic nature, and you're here today to share with our listeners some important information. Is it what's happening in our community, patriotic-wise?
Just basically patriotic days on the calendar, things to remember, things to celebrate, things to honor.
All right, let's hear it.
Well, first I have to give a nod to the theme of the month of November. It is Military Family Appreciation Month. And this month recognizes and honors the commitment and sacrifices made by the families of our nation's service members. You know, many times there is an empty seat at the Thanksgiving table or the dinner table or a birthday celebration. So this is a great month to honor our families. And then we roll right into November 6th, which is Daylight Saving Time. And that actually has a component. It has a connection with the First World War when they really implemented daylight saving time as a way to save energy. But the idea in and of itself is not new. Benjamin Franklin played around with the idea, and he wrote about it back in 1784. And then later on, William Willett wrote about it, although he did pass away in 1915, so he never saw this come to fruition. Now, the great thing about daylight savings time, outside of the fact that we're going to fall back and lose an hour, it is a great time as a reminder to change your batteries in your smoke detectors. So that's what's a great time. We do this twice a year, and that's a wonderful time to put on the calendar to change your batteries.
Well, thank you for that's interesting. Okay. I wouldn't look at the two as coinciding, but I think that makes a lot of sense. It's like October is get your flu shot month. Go on. This is great.
Yeah, it's a great time to remember. And of course, we know one of the biggest days in November is November 8th. Election Day. Please have your voice be heard. Vote. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that. November 10th is one of the busiest days when it comes to the month of November, and we have to first say happy birthday to the United States Marines. The United States Marine Corps, USMC, was originally founded as the Continental Marines on November 10th, 1775. According to History.com, serving on land and at sea, the original United States Marines distinguished themselves in a number of important operations during the Revolutionary War. And according to USO.org, the United States Marines' motto,
Semper Fidelis,
yes, is legendary. However, Semper Fi, as it is cheered, quite often, is not only the motto for the Marines, it's a way of life. The phrase is Latin for always faithful. Hmm. And it embodies the Marine Corps' forever commitment to both their fellow Marines and the United States. And this is also a wonderful day to fly your flag. It's November 10th. There's another special birthday going on November 10th, and it's a big one. Happy birthday to the American Legion Auxiliary. The American Legion Auxiliary was established on November 10th, 1919. Interesting note, I actually served on the American Legion 100th Anniversary National Committee.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you're in charge of the American Legion here in this area, right?
American Legion Auxiliary.
Auxiliary.
Yes. Right. The American Legion Auxiliary, and both the Legion as well, have made great strides over the past century to advocate for our veterans' rights and services and help our hospitalized veterans, active duty military members, and their families. Can you tell I'm a little partial to the American Auxiliary?
That's great. Well, so are you the auxiliary, the ones that do the poppies?
Yes.
Okay.
We are, indeed.
Yeah, that was, and I remember that on every corner in front of every grocery store, we used to see that, and we don't see that as much anymore, if at all.
We do it during the month of May.
Okay.
And that particular program was established back in the 1920s, so long before I was born. It's a fantastic program, and it is nationwide.
Right. Okay. And so that was fantastic history. What got you so, where's your patriotic spirit? How did that, was it from your family? How was that instilled in you?
It's possible from growing up being in a military family. We were the ones that moved every couple of years. And so I lived all across the United States. So a little bit of culture from the South, a little bit of culture from the North, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Blended together and here I am.
And you're in Reading.
I'm in Reading.
I love it. Well, no, everybody said, why are you here? So, you know, there's all these wonderful stories.
What else is going on out there during this time frame?
During this time frame? Well, of course, we know what happens on November 11th. It is Veterans Day. And I have to say a thank you to everyone that has worn the uniform and served our country. Veterans Day started back in 1919 by United States President Woodrow Wilson and was originally known as Armistice Day. Now, you may have noticed that many Veterans Day events held on November 11th start at 11 a.m., and there's a good reason for that. Back in 1918, it was on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month that an armistice was declared between the Allied nations and Germany in World War I. Thank you to our veterans for your dedication and service, and please remember to fly the American flag that day.
And we really have a great flag store here located on Hilltop Drive.
The Flag Center. They
are fantastic. It's under new ownership. And they have taken this company, this store, and embodied the whole spirit of what it is to be an American, the honoring of what it is to raise your flag and fly your flag. And they're very just wonderful community people. So a shout out, if you're looking for flags, you're figuring like what, go shop local, stay local right there on Hilltop Drive. Almost pretty much across from, I think, Tobacco and Brew area.
Yeah, right across the street.
So go ahead, Emery. Do you have some closing thoughts?
So another official Fly Your Flag Day, of course, is November 25th, and that is Thanksgiving. And that has a lot of history as well. In fact, the Thanksgiving as we know it here, of course, we know about the Pilgrim colonists back in 1621. But it was, wasn't until 1863, during the Civil War, that President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national Thanksgiving Day to be held each November.
Okay.
Well, I don't think I've heard that one before.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, interesting. Gosh.
National Thanksgiving Day. Do other countries celebrate this?
I don't know.
Brits have something like this?
I just know they do Boxing Day. Yeah. I don't know which is their Christmas, but I don't know about a Thanksgiving. We should look that up.
Anyway.
Oh, it says November. Okay, one more. Go ahead.
And on a closing note, I would just like to say a personal nod for November 6th through November 12th, which is Animal Shelter Adoption Week. It's a great time to visit your local animal shelter, and who knows, you may just find a friend and save a life. Haven, thank you, everyone.
And Haven Humane has great deals. Now, the adoption fees are really low. They've got lots of dogs, pups, cats. So this is a good time during this week to also stop by Haven Humane or any animal shelter and give one of those little devils a forever home. Yeah. Anne Marie Fuller, thank you so much for being with us today and your effervescent personality. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, we've had the Emery's been on before, but when she walked by, and because her, she is very bubbly, I knew that she was, Anne Marie was coming in to talk about what she was talking about today. But for some reason, when she came through, I thought it was the cheerleading coach out at Simpson. And I said, gosh, you do this too? And she looks at me, and she goes, and this blank look on her face. I went, you're not the cheerleading coach out at Simpson.
No.
And she goes, no, I will not be doing handstands today. So, hey, thank you very much for what you do and for our community.
Great. You brought us some good energy today. Thanks. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on KTNR. This portion of the show is brought to you by another veteran-owned business, Mike Huber. Speaking of, I'm wondering what you're thinking about that NASCAR since he's out loving racing as well. But if you're looking for stone, granite, tile work, any kind of thing on a creative level, a fire pit, redoing your kitchen, Mike at Estate Granite is the guy, and that would be Estate Granite. Sorry, Mike works by appointment only, so give him a call at 241-STONE or go to EstateGranite.com. We'll be right back.
A new voice for Anderson City Council. Amarjeet Singh will listen to you at town hall meetings. He supports Anderson Police Department and the Anderson Teen Center. Amarjeet Singh, Anderson City Council. This ad paperwork by Singh for Anderson City Council.
Wind River Resort and Casino is thankful for all our guests and would like you to come down and play our
Thankful Tuesday's $68,000 Swipe to Win promotion.
Swipe daily to win free slot play and prizes.
Earn four times the entries on Sundays and Mondays.
Weekly drawings Tuesdays in October and November from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Drawings every half hour.
Winners will pick three game pieces off the game board for free slot play.
And the highest winner every half hour
will win $1,000 cash.
All the details are at WinRiver.com.
Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are three chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel while set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Hi, this is Erin Resner, candidate for Shasta County Supervisor, District 1. I've been blessed to call Shasta County home for most of my life. My husband and I built a business, served the community, and raised a family all right here in Shasta County. Like many counties, we have our share of complex problems, and those complex problems require real, long-term solutions. Whether addressing homelessness, mental health, or public safety, I can promise I will listen to you, work with you, and fight for you and our community. Vote for me on November 8th.
Paid for by Erin Resner for Supervisor 2022.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hey Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again, your candidate for District 5 Supervisor. On the campaign trail, a lot of the complaints I hear seem to surround some of our county code enforcement and health department. I believe we have some great people working for our county enforcing our codes and rules, but I would like to see some of those departments to redirect their focus a bit. When we have transient camps full of filth, waste, and drug paraphernalia, I would encourage our health department to concentrate on those areas rather than the small business owners or volunteers who are already doing their best to comply with our codes and ordinances. When there are large-scale marijuana grows being conducted in our county by non-county residents and even some out-of-country growers, we need code enforcement to concentrate on the pesticides and fertilizers that are contaminating our environment rather than the unpermitted carport or the above-ground pool that isn't up to code. Shasta County is a great place to live, raise a family, and retire to, but we do have some problems. I would like to use some of our great people and county assets to help solve those problems and lessen the burden on our law-abiding citizens. I'm Chris Kellstrom, and I would be honored to earn your vote. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
A new voice for Anderson City Council. Amarjeet Singh will listen to you at town hall meetings. He supports Anderson Police Department and the Anderson Teen Center. Amarjeet Singh, Anderson City Council. This ad paperwork by Singh for Anderson City Council.
I think I like when it rains.
And good morning and welcome back to our Wednesday edition. Oh, you know what, Liam? Thank you for our producers who bring us in like thoughtful bump music. You know, it makes you pause. Cool. Welcome to our show this morning. And of course, it's 40 degrees. I just put my little fur vest back on. Showers likely today with our temperatures around 55. And tonight, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Perhaps frost at 35 degrees this evening, in case you're wondering. What's the weather look like? No, I kept thinking maybe I'd wash my Uggs and put them outside in the sun. It's not going to happen for a while. So
this portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Nobody fixes windshields better than Jeff Horst. Whether it's a small chip or a crack over 22 inches, or I should say 24 inches in length, Jeff can fix it. He guarantees his work for life. He fixed a crack on my windshield 15 years ago, and you still can't see it. That's kind of cool. It's kind of work he does. Don't take a chance with your family's safety. With the temperature going down like this, you got a chip in there and you get water in it, and when it freezes, it cracks. So it can make that little bitty chip turn into a crack across your windshield. For a free inspection and analysis, take your car, truck, or RV down to 3208 South Market Street or give Jeff a call at 530-241-8373 for an appointment. It's a better-known business, Crackmaster Windshield Repair. We're here with Connie Granolos, who is a tremendous
supporter
of veterans.
Advocate.
Anything you could
stellar
say.
Stellar citizen.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. You're so kind.
No, it's all those things. Yeah. And plus, she's, I think you still are, Big Bike Weekend force behind that.
Yep. So when you think about somebody who puts your money where your mouth is and puts your energy where your mouth is or where your body is or where you are as a part of the community, Connie Granoll's name you'll see on several, like Haven Humane and certain things that, you know, she's just a staunch supporter. And especially has a big heart for our veterans.
I absolutely do. When COVID happened, everything was shut down, right? And that included all the activities at the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. during that tragic time, Mark George, the director there, he passed away from COVID. I mean, it's just been devastating for the staff. And the chapel is still going under retrofit and renovations, and that'll be open in December. So, you know, they'll be opening that up again. But what I'm here specifically to speak to today is our Veterans Day program. So this is our first program that we've had since 2019. And that is going to be November 11th at 11 a.m. at our beautiful Northern California Veterans Cemetery. We are so excited. We have both Boulder Creek and Sequoia Schools will be singing. The Jefferson Pipe Band, I don't know about you, but every time I hear Amazing Grace, it brings a tear.
Yes.
Sheriff Johnson is going to be reading the Governor's Proclamation. And Doug LaMalfa is actually going to be speaking very briefly some closing remarks during the program this year. And Doug's a great guy.
He's a great guy.
And he is humble, and when his office called, they said, we want to be there, but if you want us to just sit there, we'll sit there. If you want us to participate, we'll participate. So it's going to be a great event. And I think the weather is supposed to be nice in the 60s maybe, which would be lovely.
Yes.
That would be absolutely lovely. So we want everybody to come out for that. It is our, like I said, it's our first event since 2019. And it's important for the cemetery support group that the community comes out there to show their respects. And enjoy that beautiful venue that we have out there. And the other big activity that we have next month is our holiday Wreaths for Heroes. Now, we disassociated with National, so it's no longer Wreaths Across America. It's our own program, Holiday Wreaths for Heroes. And that's going to be December 17th at noon. So we want if you have time and you want to fluff the bows, there's thousands and thousands, of wreaths that we have to lay out during that time period. And then they stay out for 3 weeks. And then the first Thursday in 2023, then we remove them at 9 o'clock in the morning. So we need a call out to people that have pickup trucks that can come out there and help load up the wreaths so that we can put them back in the Connex boxes for storage for the following year.
Kim Chamberlain was a driving force on this when this first began.
Absolutely.
Years ago. And the first year, it was, you know, I think we were out there the first, second year.
Yeah.
And, but now it has gotten, I mean, every gravesite out there has a wreath on it. And there are a lot more gravesites than there used to be.
There are, and it is truly a community-involved project. It takes so many volunteers to prepare the wreaths, so many volunteers to place the wreaths on the individual headstones, and then obviously a lot of volunteer hours, too, to remove the wreaths and put them back in storage so that they can be preserved for the following year.
All right. Now, who is your keynote speaker? We always appreciate. There's always somebody fabulous that's got something to you guys pick out. It's what I want to say is who you select to have as keynote speaker for November 11th.
We have Dr. Mark Lewis, who is with Sundial Dentistry. He has a history in this area. He is career military from here. Believe it's his grandfather's uniform is in the museum, Robert Rose Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And he is very enthusiastic to speak to us. And he's my dentist, so.
Oh, fantastic. Well, no, I mean, it's nice to hear that.
You were sitting there and going. Exactly.
Well, you know, when you have somebody whose career, that means that they've given their life to the military and their families. Mm-hmm. Again, we've talked about that earlier, about the families that travel all over the place and know that you know, I think when you have somebody who serves in the military, you've got to understand that that comes first. You know, when you're told this is where you're going to go, that's where you go. And then the wife and the family, that's where they go.
Yep, absolutely.
And you don't really have a choice.
You don't. You don't.
It's a mindset.
It is. It is a true commitment, and I'm sure as Carl can speak to this too, and you, Linda, you know, it's a struggle to maintain and keep the family together and do all of those things that's needed to have the support that the soldier needs when he's at home and on his downtime and while he's in theater.
If it wasn't for the wives, and you know what, it, frankly, it's a lot easier for us, for the ones that are deploying. Yeah, there is that chance, you know, of getting killed. But having somebody at home that then is now taking care of all the bills, kids, plumbing, all of that stuff falls on his or her shoulders for them to and then to keep a uplifted attitude when they write or talk to their husbands or wives and that are deployed is a big thing. And for years, decades, it was just kind of one of those, yeah, well, that's, you know, that's what they do. And then it started being recognized just how important the spouses, the military spouses, to take care of all that stuff. We prepare as much as we can if we know we're deploying. But Desert Shield, Desert Storm, everybody just picked up and left. And none of those wives clubs were built. None of the, you know, extra stuff was done, you know. And so everything fell on the families back there when everybody left in a very short period of time. It's so important to recognize.
Absolutely.
The military families, the and what they do.
Yeah. I've got an uncle and a cousin. They're lifers. And my cousin.
Career. We call them career.
Yeah. Okay,
career military. So lifers.
It's going to be interesting because we're going to, yeah, well, I mean, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that to be disrespectful. But my cousin's working with somebody out of the Pentagon right now, and we're going to find out more about it. I don't know how secretive it is, but, you know, find out. So you think about the family, because I know that they've been in Germany, then they're in England. I think they're in Washington now. They're all over the place. So anyway, so our shout-out this November, we remember those veterans. And, Connie, we appreciate all that you do for our community, and thank you for coming in today and telling us about the dates changing from Reads Across America to, again, it's called?
Holiday Wreaths for Heroes.
Holiday Wreaths for Heroes on the 17th of December.
Correct.
And we're going to have you back on before that.
Right.
And to talk about this, but also November 11th, yeah, there is going to be a ceremony out there, just like it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And what time does that start?
11 o'clock a.m., so it's traditional. You can't forget the date, 11-11 at 11.
There you go. But get out there around 10-15 because there's going to be a lot of people showing up because this is the first one in a while.
Yes.
So bring your kids, bring your grandkids to this. It's really wonderful. Wreath laying and all these things are happening there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you,
Linda.
You bet. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Axiom Repertory Theater wants to thank the Rancheria for their generous grant to help support the arts and our theater in the community. Thank you so much for being a wonderful partner.
Hey, from all of us at Riddick Sports Club, we want to thank Reading Rancheria for all that you guys do for the community and for helping us out. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again. I am running for District 5 Supervisor, and I'd be honored to earn your vote. District 5 includes Anderson, Cottonwood, Shingletown, and now Happy Valley. The one thing all these areas have in common is water issues, or better yet, a lack of water. The ACID canal is empty for the first time ever, and this has caused an environmental nightmare for the South County. Wells are going dry, ponds and creeks are drying up, fields and pastures have been destroyed. Happy Valley has been facing water shortages and severe cutbacks for a few years now, and in Shingletown, Grace and Nora Lakes have been drained, plus
plus their water storage project, has been held up over government red tape and regulations. Mark Twain once said, "Whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting over." Shasta County needs a fighter who will fight for the people and stand between the citizens and government overreach and red tape regulations. Water is the lifeblood of the earth, and I will fight for that lifeblood for Shasta County. I'm Chris Kellstrom, and I would be honored to earn your vote. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Reading loves seeing new people and families move here, looking to join our community. But when those same people run for office telling us their big city ideas can unlock the untapped potential of our home, they're wrong. It's a shame they feel that way and can't see what makes our community so special. If untapped potential means bringing San Francisco to Reading, then it's better we just leave that keg untapped. Re-electing Michael DeQuisto and voting for Marcus Pardon will make our community great. And they're going to do the work needed to safeguard our home. Paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto.
My name is Brenda Lunte. My husband and I have owned San Francisco Deli for 30 years and been a resident of Shasta County for 40 years. I first met Kevin as a customer in our deli. When he decided to run for supervisor of District 1, where I live, I was happy to offer my support. At a recent reception, a woman mentioned she had difficulty contacting local officials, trying to get answers. No one would return her calls. Kevin immediately offered her and everyone else his phone number. He was willing to talk to groups, small or large, one-on-one, to anyone who had questions about who Kevin Cry was or anything else they might have concerns about. I believe he is someone who will be accessible to those who put him in office, not just the elite. Every Shasta County voter deserves to have access to our officials to get answers to their questions and concerns. I'm confident Kevin is that guy. I am endorsing Kevin Cry for District 1. Thank you, Brenda Lunte.
This ad paid for by the committee to elect Kevin Cry. Supervisor, District 1.
Hi, this is Doug LaMalfam. If you've shopped for groceries or gassed up your car lately, you know that inflation is getting worse, not better. There is no reason why everything we buy these days needs to cost so much more than it did just 2 years ago. The Biden administration and the Pelosi Congress are wrecking our economy with their massive spending, their regulations, and tax increases. They've wasted our precious water, neglected our forests, and ruined our domestic energy industry, making us more dependent on expensive foreign oil. Their bureaucracy, their regulations, and mandates make everything cost more, crushing small business. I fight in Washington for families' needs, not some political agenda. To keep our water flowing and our crops growing. A federal government actually managing our forests to prevent devastating fires instead of watching them burn. To cut through the nonsense to help our families survive. I'm Doug LaMalfa. I approve this message, and with your support, I'll keep fighting for what's right. Paid for by the Doug LaMalfa Committee.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
From our family at Market Street, Blade & Barrel, thank you, Reading Rancheria, for all you do. You guys rock, community. Thanks again. See you soon.
From the family of Trendy, we want to thank Reading Rancheria for all you have done for the businesses of the community of Reading. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Welcome back to Tree Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, everybody. It's 7:52 in the morning. It is the 2nd of November. And with us, there's been a lot of consternation about something that's going on. Last week, on a consent calendar for a simple vote only, the CAO and the staff said they wanted to move the Shasta County Veterans Service Officer from office from being a separate department to being under the CAO directly. And this would assist with the administrative administrative duties and this and other things. And then also move them from their location where they've been for a couple years, a brand new location, moving them across 8 years. Has it been that long? 8 years. And moving them across the street to where Black Bear Diner's headquarters were. They're saying they'll have more room, better parking, and all this. But this was done just kind of like a, oh, yeah, by the way, Patrick Jones said, have the veterans had a chance to talk about this? And the answer, of course, was no. Well, the veterans are now. I mean, if you want to galvanize people, start talking about an organization, the Veterans Service Office, that does so much for the veterans. And with us today is Jess Hoops, who's commander of the American Legion. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Linda, how are
good
you?
Good morning.
We're doing
Thank
great,
you.
Jess. Okay, tell us what the qualms are about this.
This first came up on the 18th calendar for October, and we found out about it Saturday morning when the new agenda came out. So Dick from Korean War Veterans and myself beat feet up there Tuesday morning to find out what this was all about. And it was to do away, basically, with our VSO officer and merge it in with the chief executive officer's realm, and then move us completely out of the building.
In the building, it's on Tehama Street.
Right.
It's on Tehama Street.
The old library building is
Yeah,
where,
it's located where the DA's office is.
Right.
And admittedly so, there's not a lot of parking right there. And that's one of the reasons they used. But it's not doing away with the Veterans Service Office. It's changing. I just want to make sure people understand. It's making them it's taking away their department status and making them a manager.
Right. And I'm going to give you a scenario how that doesn't work for the vet.
Okay.
So this moves into that realm. We are granted by CalVet a certain amount of money every year for our office. Okay?
Right.
So if CalVet says the county can't use that money for anything but, it's like the cigarette tax for our education.
Right.
We get that money. They can reduce the county's budget by that and just actually reduce the staff clear down to almost zero to operate just on that sole thing.
Mm-hmm.
If they take the VSO away.
Well, they take the
department head away and they merge it, then they can use the general fund money that they normally give that office for whatever they want.
And the fear is that, from things I've read, is that it becomes a financial money grab.
Exactly.
That if the, let's just say that it's, the budget there is just for round numbers, $1 million a year. I'm just using that because it's easy for me. They can then reduce that because it's coming out of the general fund and
at their discretion.
Well, the one thing we can't forget though is the Shasta County Veterans Service Office, like every other Veterans Service Office, is not a California requirement.
It's a federal requirement.
Well, but we have it here and it's paid for out of the general fund.
Right.
Now there is money put into it. So what they're saying is the reason we're doing this is because of administrative reasons that we're going to do the admin for them that they've been having to do, and this will give them more time to focus on veterans. I'm just telling you what they're saying.
And that's a gray area. In fact, it's a really dark gray area. Because once they can do what they want with that money, who's to say where it's going to go?
The new jail.
I mean,
that's what I've heard.
That's what I heard,
okay,
too.
Okay, but here's the big thing, my friends, all my veteran friends out there, and the people that care about veterans. The Shasta County Veterans Service Office has just been great. It brings in about $4 million a year to the county in benefits. That's not retirements from all us old retired Marines and soldiers and sailors. These are benefits that men and women have earned while on active duty that comes back into the county. It's important that we keep the Shasta County Veterans Service Office there. And it's important that we have a say as the veterans in this county and city about what happens. So they're going to have a meeting on Wednesday the 9th. In the Board of Supervisors chambers at 10 a.m.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yes. That's the last notice that I got.
Yep. There's been other meetings called and canceled and moved and all that. But that one is written hopefully in stone. It is on the 9th at 10 o'clock.
Right.
That's a Wednesday at the Board of Supervisors chambers. They're going to talk about should we move it. And what are the ramifications for this?
And we are not being told anything about what is transpiring. We just know they tried to sneak it through. And if I was the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, I'd take the sign down from the Cottonwood Creek Bridge that says we support veterans, because they're damn sure not.
Well, I tell you what, they could have pulled that sign down many times in the past, as far as I'm concerned, and things
correct.
That they have not done. Okay, so veterans and their families are pretty excited about this. I'm excited about it. Linda's excited about it. That. What does this mean to our veterans? What impact can this have? If they say it absolutely no impact, they're going to have to prove that.
Exactly.
They have to put it in writing.
What it's going to do, in my view, is going to reduce the services to the vet at the expense of, you know, they're going
to the veterans.
Yeah, it's going to be for the county at the expense of the veterans.
Well, we'll see. Let's see what they have to say about this. And if you're interested, show up with the rest of us on the 9th, next Wednesday, a week from today.
I encourage everybody, not just veterans, to show up and be heard.
But other people that support the veteran causes and what happens to our veterans. Because this is afterwards. This isn't while on active duty. This is what happens. You know, they help the people who have served our country.
Well, so, I'm looking at maybe having to go back to another place like Hospital Lane, because we don't know what flux is happening out there. They're not telling us.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Carl.
Wednesday, hey. 10 o'clock at the Shasta County Board of Supervisors Chambers. We'll be right back after the news.
KCNR, Shasta. Ready.
Quote, I'm like 95% he's going to run, end quote. And Priebus says if other big challengers run, Trump will be very difficult for any Republican to defeat.
Correspondent Donna Warder says there is speculation that Mr. Trump's announcement could come after the midterm elections. And with less than a week to the midterms, the pollsters have been talking to Americans about what issues are top of mind for them.
A new Rasmussen Report survey finds that 26% of likely U.S. voters say inflation is the most important issue in how they'll vote in this year's congressional elections, while another 22% named the economy as the top issue. They are followed by abortion rights, 19%, illegal immigration, 8%, climate change, and violent crime. Only 2% of voters name either the war in Ukraine or LGBTQ rights as the most important issue for them in the midterm election. Kim Lorman reporting.
Israelis have cast votes in their national election with 85% of the ballots tallied. Former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu appears poised to make a comeback. He tells supporters that he will establish a nationalist government that will see to all Israeli citizens without any exceptions. The White House now accusing North Korea of backing Vladimir Putin's war in Ukraine, accusing the North of covertly shipping a significant number of artillery shells to the Russians for use in Ukraine. What's next for interest rates? We'll find out later today when we hear from the Federal Reserve, wrapping up its latest two-day policy-setting meeting. Ahead of that, stocks are lower. The Dow's down 86 points, while the Nasdaq is off 64. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Charlie Dombeck here from Key City Capital. As a practicing CPA for nearly 30 years, I have found that 80% of your ability to grow your wealth is dependent upon two factors, taxes and investment performance. At Key City Capital, we improve investment performance by diversifying capital into off-market investment opportunities in passive rental real estate and alternatives like asset-backed lending. We recover dollars that clients unnecessarily pay in the form of income taxes, creating a lifetime annuity of savings. We are a sponsor of passive, affordable single and multifamily residential rental investments, which are located in Sunbelt landlord-friendly states. These investments are the top choices in a rising interest rate and inflationary environment. They represent a store of value, protecting your capital from market volatility. Learn how we at Key City Capital can help you ultimately grow your wealth rapidly. Connect with me at keycitycapital.com or give me a call at 817-912-1569.
Kenya is deploying its first peacekeepers to the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, where the rebel M23 group is behind deadly violence. The BBC's Richard Kagoe is in Nairobi.
The Kenyan soldiers will arrive in the Democratic Republic of Congo as part of the East Africa Community Regional Force. Kenya Defense Forces have been deploying logistical support systems since September in readiness for the planned operations against the rebels. The contingent's first mission will be recapturing the border city of Bunagana that was seized by the M23 in June. The East Africa Community agreed on a troop deployment deal to combat rebels early this year. DRC has accused Rwanda of supporting the M23 group. Kigali has denied those accusations.
Taiwan welcoming a pair of experts from China to help with an ailing panda, a rare opportunity for contact between the sides. The two experts arrived today, the panda suspected of having a malignant brain tumor. News and analysis, townhall.com. United Airlines pilots turn thumbs down on their employer's latest pay offer.
The raise is nearly 15% over 18 months. It's the latest showing of resolve by airline unions to push for significant pay raises. The Airline Pilots Association reports 94% of pilots who took part voted against the proposed contract. The union says it's determined to win an industry-leading contract that recognizes the pilots' contributions to United's success. The contract rejection is being announced one day after pilots at Delta approved a symbolic strike authorization vote to protest the lack of a new contract. John Scott reports.
Cities and counties across the country are pushing measures aimed at stabilizing or controlling rents at a time when housing prices are skyrocketing. Voters in Orange County, Florida, and several California cities are asking voters to approve ballot measures that would cap rent hikes. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. It's Wednesday, the 2nd of November, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your health, your choice. And I tell you what, if something happens to me and I'm thrown in the back of an ambulance, I'm heading to Shasta Regional Medical Center, their emergency room and all the things they do. That's what I would do. Health, healing starts there. Liam's at the helm.
Good morning.
Good morning. You already played the camel thing.
I did.
I'm sorry, but I tell you what, if Chief Shuler was here, you'd have to play it again.
I know.
Or the sheriff. The sheriff.
Yeah.
He rolls on the floor when he hears it.
It's hump day.
That's exactly how she says it.
It's hump
day. Guess what day it is?
It's hump day. All right.
Linda likes it, too.
All right, everybody, welcome to Wednesday morning. It's currently 40 degrees if you're, like, trying to figure it out. Now, we have to play in a golf tournament. We have to because we've committed.
Tomorrow.
We're playing in a golf tournament tomorrow. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh.
42 degrees
beanie,
at 8 o'clock in the
fur
morning.
Fur boots. I'm going to be, I don't care. I'm going to be out there in fur boots. I'm sorry.
You're going to look like
I'm hoping I hit the ball. That's all that, you know, I'm out there. But anyways, for Simpson, and we promise we're going to play in a foursome.
We're there.
We're there, and we're all about just best ball and, trying to make it happen. Anyway, so if you look at the degrees today, showers likely with our high of 55 today, slight chance of thunderstorms tonight, then areas of frost. That's going to be fun at 7:30 in the morning. Overnight lows of 35. Now, tomorrow calls for areas of frost and sunny with a high of 60. I've never played in this kind of weather. Well, first of all, when we say play, I guess you just get out there and you swing and you do what you can do. So, you know,
we don't play very much.
I'm going to have on gloves.
During hot weather.
Yeah, I mean, it's just areas of frost on Sunday tomorrow with a high of 60, overnight lows tomorrow of 40. Friday calls for partly sunny with a high of 65. Friday night chance of showers 44. Now listen to this weekend forecast. 80% of chance of showers on Saturday with our high of 55. And Sunday, again, with showers with 59. So we're going to have cool temperatures ahead of us. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned in Anderson, 365-3793.
Okay, also this Saturday, as the 29th Annual Shasta Lake Lions Veterans Day Parade begins at 10 a.m. Down on their on Shasta Dam Boulevard. Linda and I will be there announcing the parade. The Also, if you show up early from between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m., they have a pancake breakfast at the Shasta Lake Firefighters Association out at the firehouse, and it's a great, you know, it's pancakes and sausage and juice and coffee, all those things.
So
and,
now, Ken,
and
if,
then afterwards,
if it's raining,
rain or shine.
There we go. People
rain
are going to show
shine.
Up.
We're going to get close to 100 entries in it. Come on down, take the kids, and if it's cold, bundle them up. You're going to have a great time there. And afterwards,
yep.
The American Legion Post 720 is having a luncheon, and you're invited to that too. Okay. We are here
with Captain Brian Barker, who is here to he's a division
Barker.
Commander.
Barner.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Barner. I just, you know, it's my scribbling this morning. But no, I know it's Brian.
That's okay.
But welcome to the show this morning. And you're here to always share with us what's going on in the police department. Now, you were talking about it being the division commander, and you talk about all the things that are going on behind the scenes. I mean, we always typically think of, you know, the guys in blue that are on the streets. But there's so much that's going on inside and changes that are going on. So what's on your mind today? Share with our listeners the month of November.
Yeah, so just a busy month coming up for the police department. Here to talk about anything that you guys want to cover today. But I represent the administration division, which is kind of the behind-the-scenes unit of the police department. So we handle all of the hiring for the police department, the policies, any personnel complaints that come in, all of that filters through the administration division, which sits right next to the chief's office. So we help him out with all the day-to-day operations of the police department and keeping things going.
Well, you know, Brian, there's so many things going on. It's almost hard to know where to get started. The election's coming up.
Correct. Yes.
Week from yesterday. If you look at what the American people really find important, if you look at their list, in the top three, we'll flip back and forth, but it's still the top three: inflation, cost of everything. For under inflation, crime and the border. Crime sometimes jumps up to number one, depending
Absolutely.
On which part of the country you're in. Talk to us about crime in Reading. Anecdotally, it seems like we're getting more violent.
Yeah, and you know, social media is a big push of that. If you actually look at statistics, that's not true. But
okay.
I think that in the social media era that we are in now, it's so prevalent that when something does happen, I think the police department has, with our social media team, has done a great job with keeping the community aware of the good things and also the bad things that are happening in our community by putting it out immediately. We used to rely on the media to put that out, so we would put out press releases, and what the media picked up was up to them. So the social media platform of our Instagram and Facebook page at Reading Police Department it lets people go and look. So I think we're over 40,000, between 30 and 40,000 followers.
Okay.
So we have a lot of people that follow our page, which is great. If we have a major incident happen, the community is going to the Reading Police Department's social media to find out what's going on and what they need to do. So, statistically, you know, I think that major, you know, violent crime is not increasing, but it does seem that way. We've had some great progress with growing the police department.
It's not like it happens and the person gets away with it. It seems like every time there is a violent crime, y'all are all over it right
Correct.
Away.
And case in point was the, you know, the young man that made some bad choices on Halloween and tried to stole one kid's pair of shoes at gunpoint, went to over by Foxdale Park. Our detectives arrested him last night. So this is a whodunit. Nobody knows who this person is, this young 19-year-old man. Our detectives were all over it, and within 24 hours, he was in custody.
That's a good story.
That's
steals a set. Okay, now here's the worrisome thing for me. He was a kid, right? How old was
19
he?
Years old.
Okay, but it's not a kid.
Yeah.
No. He's a 19-year-old, pulls a gun on somebody, take his shoes.
Yeah.
This ain't New York. This is not Chicago.
And exactly case in point of the police department, you know, this isn't Chicago, this isn't New York, and, mm-hmm. and that's why he's in custody within mm-hmm. 24 hours. So our entire detective division was on that yesterday and quickly got him in custody. But if you look at the violent crime that we've had, the unfortunate homicides that we've had, uh-huh. I mean, our department has done a great job getting those people in custody quickly.
This guy's on your Facebook page, and he's pretty sleazy.
I do.
I arrested him just because we
I do appreciate. Come on, Carl.
No.
You know,
I call that proactive policing. They look bad, you arrest them.
No, that's just ridiculous.
Get their names,
anyway,
get their fingerprints, take a DNA sample from them.
Yeah, you and can't profile.
And a fecal sample, and we've got them.
Yeah, and the troubling thing is he was with several juveniles that were underage when we think during the incident and then also when he was arrested. So you got this 19-year-old kid that has, you know, 15, 16-year-old, 17-year-old kids with mm-hmm. him that, you know, what is he teaching them? So hopefully they saw the light and saw him get in the back of one of our police cars and off he went. So.
All right. We're here with Captain Brian Barner, who is the division commander from the police department. We have so much to discuss this morning. I'd like to know more about what's happening internally. I think a lot of us like to know about what's growing, and a little history on you as well, like, you know, how long you've been in, and, you know, and thank you for your service. Always, we back the blue. This portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, located at 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. And what are you laughing about there? What's your face?
I'm just going to ask.
He makes these faces,
I'm going to ask the captain for your analysis on you with that red stuff you're drinking. So, you know.
It's electrolytes. I'll be right back.
Four Winds Jewelry.
We'll be right back.
Full-service jewelry store in Reading.
That's right.
They're located at 2225 Hilltop Drive. They're having their anniversary sale starts December 1st.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, Four Winds
Perfect
Jewelry.
Timing.
They're great people down there. That's where we shop. We'll be right back.
Take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy.
Science proves quality sleep is vital to your mental, emotional, and physical health. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts to help keep you both effortlessly comfortable. And it's temperature balancing, so you stay cool. So you're at your best for yourself and those you care about most. Life-changing sleep, only from Sleep Number. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number 360 Special Edition smart bed plus special financing, only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Hey Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again, your candidate for District 5 Supervisor. On the campaign trail, a lot of the complaints I hear seem to surround some of our county code enforcement and health department. I believe we have some great people working for our county enforcing our codes and rules, but I would like to see some of those departments to redirect their focus a bit. When we have transient camps full of filth, waste, and drug paraphernalia, I would encourage our health department to concentrate on those areas rather than the small business owners or volunteers who are already doing their best to comply with our codes and ordinances. When there are large-scale marijuana grows being conducted in our county by non-county residents and even some out-of-country growers, we need code enforcement to concentrate on the pesticides and fertilizers that are contaminating our environment rather than the unpermitted carport or the above-ground pool that isn't up to code. Shasta County is a great place to live, raise a family, and retire to, but we do have some problems. I would like to use some of our great people and county assets to help solve those problems and lessen the burden on our law-abiding citizens. I'm Chris Kellstrom, and I would be honored to earn your vote.
This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Hello, this is Nadine Bailey, and one of my favorite quotes is policy, not politics. I've spent my life working on policy issues like forestry, water, and private property rights. That's why I support Kevin Cry. We need someone that understands that private property rights are not about who your friends are. I know this because I have friends on both sides of this issue. We need a strong leader who will stand up for property owners. Because next time it might not be a well-funded property owner that can afford to hire an attorney. Next time it might be your small business that government comes after. Please vote for Kevin Cry for supervisor.
I am Kevin Cry, and as your District 1 supervisor, I commit to being open and will always take responsibility for my decisions. When my opponent voted to take away the property rights of our local tribe, it threatens all property owners' rights. Shasta County deserves to have a leader that will put all people first. This November 8th, vote Kevin Cry. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Kevin Cry, Shasta County Supervisor, District 1.
Reading loves seeing new people and families move here, looking to join our community. But when those same people run for office telling us their big city ideas can unlock the untapped potential of our home, they're wrong. It's a shame they feel that way and can't see what makes our community so special. If untapped potential means bringing San Francisco to Reading, then it's better we just leave that keg untapped. Re-electing Michael DeQuisto and voting for Marcus Pardon will make our community great. And they're going to do the work needed to safeguard our home. Paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto.
I'm Max Steiner, the Democratic candidate for Congress here in CD1. I'm a combat veteran and a political moderate. I'm pro-timber, pro-gun, pro-choice, and pro-America. I'm not a typical woke Democrat, and I am not a career politician. My legislative priorities as your representative would cut across party lines. We need to protect the fundamentals of our democracy. We must reduce fire risk by thinning our forests, strengthening the timber industry, and hiring more firefighters. We need to build more dams to reduce the impacts of climate change. We should codify Roe v. Wade into law. Finally, we must ensure security abroad with a strong military and security at home with strong police forces. We need to make big changes in Washington. If we keep voting for the incumbents, nothing will ever change. We need politicians who will put principles over party, politicians who will say no to the far left and the far right. We need politicians who will truly put America first. In November, I would be honored to earn your vote.
I'm Max Steiner, and I approve this ad, paid for by Max Steiner for Congress.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Northern Firearms Instruction is the largest privately owned firearms instruction company in California. Why do I say that? They were just signed by all of the Bass Pro Shops, all
really?
Of the Cabela's, all of the sportsmen to be the instructors for them. Plus, they were already teaching in something like 47 different places.
Congratulations, Ted, because
he's worked hard.
He is steamrolled. He has been the person to just, like, take no prisoners in this completely in a force.
In a good sense. And it's probably some of the most complete training you're going to get. Included with it is a handout, which is like 30 pages, 32 pages, maybe bigger than that, with all of the gun laws, all types of things in there. It's really a handy reference that's updated every year. So Northern Firearms Instruction, learn more at usgunpro.com or give them a call at 530-999-1822. We're here with Captain Brian Barner of the Reading Police Department. He's in charge of the administrative division, but you all go back and forth. I mean, in different divisions. And as you've been coming up, you're in different areas all the
time.
And
that's one thing that, you know, when talking to these young men and women that want to get into law enforcement is, you know, what other job can you go into that you can move around quite a bit? So I've had the opportunity to do a lot of different things through my career. And it seems like every 3, 4, or 5 years I was changing and doing a completely different job, whether that be a motor officer, a canine officer, a detective, and then promoting up through the ranks and moving through the different divisions. So it's been a great career for me and my family.
I think it's a lot like the military, that you get a different job every 3 years.
Yeah, very similar.
It may be the same MOS or your occupational specialty, or maybe not. But you get a fresh look at things and new way, you know, something new to learn and all that.
Absolutely.
I mean, it keeps things from being tedious.
Absolutely.
Now, something happened at the
council meeting.
Council meeting.
Yeah, council meeting last night. if you weren't able to watch it, it is recorded. But all the listeners out there, I encourage you to go look at the presentation done by our crisis intervention response team. We call that the CIRT. Mm-hmm. That's the two officers, Joanna Bland and Devin Kettle, and our mental health clinician that are rolling around and handling calls for service for these mental health individuals, and they're doing great work out there. And the presentation that they did last night at council was very good. And for those of you out there that are interested, I encourage you to go look at the work that they're doing for our community. It's different. You see a lot of police departments moving that way, but it's definitely needed, especially in this community. And they're making some great progress in getting these mental health individuals housing and off the streets.
Now, what this is started a couple years ago. The thought of it, the plan on it, probably started earlier. And what you're doing is linking a mental health professional with two officers, one officer.
There's two officers and the mental health clinician actually in the car with them.
Right.
So they're riding around, not in uniform,
civilian clothes.
So it's for old school 26 year cops like me, it's different because they're out making contact with people in an unmarked car, not in uniform, because it's the uniform. These people that have mental health issues, as soon as they see a police car pull up, it automatically raises that, their level of anxiety. So
right.
it's a different. Austin Police Department in Texas was one of the first to do it. They actually had a TV show that they did. And so we kind of latched onto that and said, this is the right way to go for police work. The crisis intervention response team, the four park ranger positions, the downtown bike team. I mean, all of those positions that are outside of just the regular beat cop that's rolling around, our neighborhood police unit we've always had. But these additional ones, to have four police officers actually in the parks, knowing everybody that's coming and going from the parks is a great thing to have. And just with the other city departments having this small group of officers that are in our parks working with them every day is a good thing. So I foresee really good things coming from our park ranger program too, just like CIRT.
Well, a lot of times when a officer would roll up on somebody, you already know who this person is. You know they've got mental problems. You kind of know what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
You know them by their name. You know about their families, their backgrounds. They know you. Having somebody that gets out of the car that's a mental health professional immediately, kind of, as you said, it kind of lowers the tension level so they can, maybe reach them, maybe get them into a housing that night and get started on something. Instead of having to arrest them and
the criminal justice system is not the place for these people. And it's establishing that relationship that the regular beat cop just can't do. Because they need to move on to, they have stacks of calls for service to go to. So to be able to pass these people off to crisis intervention response team or an officer's on scene, crisis intervention shows up and takes over so that beat officer can get out and handle calls for service.
Sure.
So, Brian, was this the presentation that was delivered last night at City Council?
Correct.
What we're discussing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So it's kind of an update for council of what crisis intervention has been doing and the successes that they've had, and then also the roadblocks that they've run into, having
such as
just different agencies getting them to come together. That if you have somebody that needs housing and how do you get them there,
right?
And until we had two officers and this mental health clinician doing this full time, there were, like anything new, there's roadblocks,
right?
And bringing these different agencies together for the community to get these people off the street.
Speaking from the outside, I've seen when they put everything under one roof, and a couple other agencies have put things under one roof. It seems like we would have one department. That's their job. And, bringing in people from Health and Human Services and others that, that's what they do is, as you're finding these people who most of them are mentally, have a mental problem when you come up to them of some kind, drugs or alcohol or just schizo, that you would just say, okay, and you call somebody, and that's what that person does.
Yeah.
But it
But there's
maybe it's getting there.
We're getting there. Yeah, definitely. Definitely making huge strides to get there. The other major project that just came up was the Sulphur Creek Hill, as we know. A lot of issues, a lot of fires. The city just received a $1 million grant, so CIRT will be out doing a lot of outreach for a lot of the camps that are in that area, trying to get people help. But just to let the community know, there's $1 million coming from a grant from the state, and Sulphur Creek Hill is going to get cleaned up. So that'll be that's great for our community. Yeah. You know, I've grown up here, and Sulphur Creek Hill's always been a problem. So it's
Sulphur
good to see
Creek
that
Hill's
coming.
Where is that, right?
North Market, going
yes.
up the hill.
Yeah, and where it's caught fire and it's already gone
every
down
summer.
To Turtle Bay and all these other places. Now, I haven't received a call from my friends, whom I know them all, that live next to Henderson Open Spaces / Nerpont.
Yes.
Since the fence went up and you all started keeping that place cleaned up. Some people sneak back in,
yep.
as we've been told, but it's 100% better.
It's major strides on
major
that.
Major strides.
And the police department, we really pushed. A fence was needed, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But that's just the times we're in now. And they had a cross-country meet down there, I think it was last Friday or Saturday, down at Nerpon. If you haven't been down there, they did a really good job with it. And now with the park rangers, they're down there every day. And they know the players down there, the bad apples. And so and then word spreads, you know, once they know that they can't be there anymore, they move on. And we try with outreach, we try to get mental health professionals down there.
2 weeks you were down there. Trying to get people housing, you had all of this stuff, and I think of the dozens and dozens and dozens of people down there, I think you got 13.
Correct.
But that's 13 more, hopefully there.
And that's when we go into these camps and we do outreach, there is so many different services out there for these people, and, you know, there's just quite a few of them don't want it. They like that lifestyle of, you know, no carefree, where they can live in a camp and not have to worry about anything. And that's another thing we've noticed with the crisis intervention team is that when they go out and they make contact with somebody, these people they don't have calendars, they don't have watches, they don't have anything. So trying to find these people to get them help is very difficult. Though we might lose them for 20, 30 days. They just go in the wind. And so to get them into housing so we can keep the help coming is so important. So the team knows where to find them. So that's been another thing that, you know, for me, I never thought of, like, if you're living on the street and you're living in a tent down at Henderson Open Space, you don't make meetings, you don't make doctor's appointments because they don't matter to you.
Because you know what time, what day it is.
Correct. And so having them actually in housing where, I mean, a crisis intervention team, they pick them up and take them to their appointments. And they make sure to get them their help.
I did not know that.
Yeah, absolutely. To get them going into the programs and to keep the 100 or 150 calls for service for that one person off of our police department, it's money well spent for our crisis intervention team.
Okay.
And it's been successful.
We're here with Captain Brian Barner from the Reading Police Department, and we're going to take a quick break here. I'm glad to hear that it's been a success really since the day it started, but you need to hear the whole enchilada to know just all these things. Like, I just found out that they go out and pick them up and get them to their doctor's appointments. I didn't know that.
Absolutely. We had one gentleman, several hundred calls for service, and they actually loaded him up because we couldn't find anybody else to get him to a program over in Eureka. And so we were the ride. We were the taxi. But
well, if the sheriff's department goes after a goat, we should be able to help people.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
All right, we got to take a break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, where I've gotten my haircut for the last 15 years. And what can I say? I've never had a bad haircut there. Yeah, I say it all the time because it's true. It's a better-known business. They work by appointments. You make your appointment, walk in, walk out. Or you can just hang around like I do sometimes to hide. It's located in the Cypress Square Barbershop right off of Athens Avenue across the parking lot from Lucky Miller's. Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. We'll be right back.
Thank you. KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Reading loves seeing new people and families move here, looking to join our community. But when those same people run for office telling us their big city ideas can unlock the untapped potential of our home, they're wrong. It's a shame they feel that way and can't see what makes our community so special. If untapped potential means bringing San Francisco to Reading, then it's better we just leave that keg untapped. Re-electing Michael DeQuisto and voting for Marcus Pardon will make our community great. And they're going to do the work needed to safeguard our home. Paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto.
Hi, this is Erin Resner, candidate for Shasta County Supervisor, District 1. Shasta County is my home, and I love our community. We continue to face tough challenges. Homelessness, public safety, and mental health are issues we all experience on a daily basis. How do we solve such complex problems? The answer is clear. Together. I have seen the strength of our community as a business owner, as mayor, and as a wife and mother. There is nothing we cannot do. Join me in the fight by voting for me on November 8th.
Paid for by Erin Resner for Supervisor 2022.
Wind River Resort and Casino and Primal Fighting Championship present Fight Night, Cage Inferno 2. Be there Saturday, November 12th for this intense action-packed night of mixed martial arts cage fighting.
It's in the cage.
Full contact fighting, no limits. Amateur title and pro fights of MMA in the cage.
This all-action, unforgettable event sells out.
Book your room and tickets with us now. Call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. As well as online or at the River Club. Must be 21 to attend. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, and emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hey Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again, your candidate for District 5 Supervisor. On the campaign trail, a lot of the complaints I hear seem to surround some of our county code enforcement and health department. I believe we have some great people working for our county enforcing our codes and rules, but I would like to see some of those departments to redirect their focus a bit. When we have transient camps full of filth, waste, and drug paraphernalia, I would encourage our health department to concentrate on those areas rather than the small business owners or volunteers who are already doing their best to comply with our codes and ordinances. When there are large-scale marijuana grows being conducted in our county by non-county residents and even some out-of-country growers, we need code enforcement to concentrate on the pesticides and fertilizers that are contaminating our environment rather than the unpermitted carport or the above-ground pool that isn't up to code. Shasta County is a great place to live, raise a family, and retire to, but we do have some problems. I would like to use some of our great people and county assets to help solve those problems and lessen the burden on our law-abiding citizens. I'm Chris Kellstrom, and I would be honored to earn your vote. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
And good morning and welcome to our Wednesday edition here, Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Always your talk radio and KCNR1460.com. Love the fact that we have revised our chat room. So Gone are the meanies, or those people who are disturbed and have gone
disturbed.
And has disturbed the peacefulness of our chat room. And people like to make a comment like, good morning, and how about this, and what did you think of that? Like, reasonable conversation instead of, you know, F-bombs and, you know, throwing out darts and stuff that is just not fun. And
so how we change it? All you have to do is just register with us, and you can come in. And once you've registered with us, you're just allowed in then from now on under that name. However, and since we've done that, we have not had a problem.
All right. KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show is brought to you by
BNT Satellite, Redding's Dish Premier local retailer. Do not call the 800 number. Call Doug Tooley at BNT Satellite. He's been doing this for over 30 years, and he does great service for you and your entertainment and gives you great value for the money. Give him a call at 530-241-3474. And he's got so many great deals going, we don't have time to say them all right here, but give him a call, 530-241-3474, BNT Satellite. Don't call the 800 number. We're here with Captain Brian Barner from the Reading Police Department. We've been talking about CRT, or CERT, the Community
Crisis Intervention Response Team.
Thank you. I know what it is. I just don't know stands for. It's an acronym.
It took me a few months.
Yeah. Let's move over into in recruiting, because Reading, for the first time, we have more police than we've ever had.
Yeah. We're up to 121 sworn. So, at our peak, we're at 119. That was before the 2008 recession. So, doing much better. We were, just about 18 months ago, 2 years ago, we were down to in like 105. So we were down low.
What does that mean to the community?
More cops on the street and more. Not only, we just got the funding to add a beat 8. So right now we have 7 officers out. Each officer has a beat in patrol. So we are going to increase 4 on either side of the river. So that's huge too. So that's 5 more officers for that. They'll be rolling out in about May. Because once we get the funding, then we have to actually hire the policemen and get them through training, which is, like you were talking about, is getting into the conversation of recruitment and the hiring process for the police department. So, a lot of the police officers that we're hiring, you were just looking at our website and talking about how young the officers are that are coming off field training.
If this guy came up to me and said, I need to talk to you, sir, I'd go, what? Halloween's over.
That's right.
Halloween's over.
That's right.
Kid, go get your training. Go get somebody. And
you're meaning.
He looks young, but he also looks very fit.
And he's talking about young Officer Woodward, who was one of our star high school wrestlers back in the day.
Fantastic.
So,
he wouldn't back up too much.
But these are these are the young men and women that we're looking for, the ones that, that grew up here. They went to high school here. Were the star athletes here. Whatever they did in high school, hopefully went into our cadet program at 18 and got some experience there. And then we hire them and put them through the police academy. Starting them in our Explorer program at 15. That's where I started. I started at 15 years old at our Explorer program at the police department.
I remember you telling me.
Yeah, and then went to cadet and was lucky enough to get put through the academy by the police department and have. And the city has. I've been here for 26 years as a police officer.
They got their money's worth.
I think. I hope they did. Yeah. I hope they feel that way.
Now, when we see signing bonuses on there on your Facebook page, that's for lap moves, and it's real important to have lap moves too. Besides having young ones that we homegrown guys,
absolutely,
but having lap moves. And why is that?
Lateral moves?
Yeah, it's a lateral police officer that comes over from another agency, and so we went to council and asked for the $40,000 signing bonus. To get ahead of it was difficult to find police officers, especially lateral police officers. But if you look at one that goes through the police academy, they're going through a 5 to 6 month police academy that we're paying them to go through. Plus, they're getting a per diem for their food and where they're staying while they're going through there. And then they come out and their field training program is about 20 weeks. So somebody that we hire is about 11 months as a recruit before we even get them on the street. As opposed to a lateral police officer, who comes in. They're averaging between six and eight weeks on FTO. So 11 months compared to a month and a half for field training and being on their own. The cost savings, even with the $40,000, it looks like a big dollar amount when you look at it at face value. But when you actually break it down on how much a recruit was, they were costing us, and then also our recruits that were coming out of the academy, the success rate was a lot lower than it was for a lateral.
Like 40% or something like that.
Much better recently.
Okay.
We're up in over 70% right now for our recruits. So that's great.
After you pay somebody for 11 months and they come out and they get into a car, from what I understand, this has happened after like a week, they go, this is not something I want to do.
Correct.
Or this is somebody the police don't want as a partner out there or on the streets.
Yeah, and, you know, most of the people that are not successful, it's officer safety issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our department is very big on officer safety. We want our officers to be safe, and some people just don't have that. And so, you know, for their safety, sometimes it doesn't work out. And then also a lot, we have some that come through that the job isn't for them.
Right.
They don't want, you know, they've never had to deal with the people that
a drunk that throws up on you.
Correct. Yeah. And so they say, this job's not for me. I'm gonna go do something else, which is okay also. But, you know, in the recruitment, looking at recruitment, for your listeners out there, that the police department is not just police officers that are the gun-toting police officers rolling around in the cars. We have dispatchers up at Shascom. They're hiring. We have property records property and records divisions,
yeah,
which are non-sworn. We have executive staff that handle all the day-to-day operations. Our community service officers, our parking enforcement. So please get on our website, and if you are interested, even if we don't have an opening, reach out to us. Let us know that you are interested, because we are looking for quality men and women for the police department.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We're with Captain Brian Barner. I would like, when we get back, to kind of find out, like, the day in the life of what happens in his position today when he goes back into his work. And remember, we're in observance today of the Day of the Dead. It's holiday traditional celebrated both November and 2nd. Really, if you're looking at people that are maybe flying kites, I don't know about in this weather, in, you know, it's usually the creation of home altars to remember the dead. Prayer and remembrance of friends and families. That is what Day of the Dead is all about. Very big in Mexico, as well as different areas throughout the world. So that's what Day of the Dead is. We'll be right back after these messages here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio.
A new voice for Anderson City Council. Amarjeet Singh will listen to you at town hall meetings. He supports Anderson Police Department and the Anderson Teen Center. Amarjeet Singh, Anderson City Council. This ad paid for by Singh for Anderson City Council.
Hey Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again, your candidate for District 5 Supervisor. On the campaign trail, a lot of the complaints I hear seem to surround some of our county code enforcement and health department. I believe we have some great people working for our county enforcing our codes and rules, but I would like to see some of those departments to redirect their focus a bit. When we have transient camps full of filth, waste, and drug paraphernalia, I would encourage our health department to concentrate on those areas rather than the small business owners or volunteers who are already doing their best to comply with our codes and ordinances. When there are large-scale marijuana grows being conducted in our county by non-county residents and even some out-of-country growers, we need code enforcement to concentrate on the pesticides and fertilizers that are contaminating our environment rather than the unpermitted carport or the above-ground pool that isn't up to code. Shasta County is a great place to live, raise a family, and retire to, but we do have some problems. I would like to use some of our great people and county assets to help solve those problems and lessen the burden on our law-abiding citizens. I'm Chris Kellstrom, and I would be honored to earn your vote. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
My name is Brenda Lunty. My husband and I have owned San Francisco Deli for 30 years and been a resident of Shasta County for 40 years. I first met Kevin as a customer in our deli. When he decided to run for supervisor of District 1, where I live, I was happy to offer my support. At a recent reception, a woman mentioned she had difficulty contacting local officials, trying to get answers. No one would return her calls. Kevin immediately offered her and everyone else his phone number. He was willing to talk to groups, small or large, one-on-one, to anyone who had questions about who Kevin Cry was or anything else they might have concerns about. I believe he is someone who will be accessible to those who put him in office, not just the elite. Every Shasta County voter deserves to have access to our officials to get answers to their questions and concerns. I'm confident Kevin is that guy. I am endorsing Kevin Cry for District 1. Thank you, Brenda Lunte.
This ad paid for by the committee to elect Kevin Cry, Supervisor District 1.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
A new voice for Anderson City Council. Amarjeet Singh will listen to you at town hall meetings. He supports Anderson Police Department and the Anderson Teen Center. Amarjeet Singh, Anderson City Council. This ad paperwork by Singh for Anderson City Council.
Hi, this is Doug LaMalfa. If you've shopped for groceries or gassed up your car lately, you know that inflation is getting worse, not better. There is no reason why everything we buy these days needs to cost so much more than it did just 2 years ago. The Biden administration and the Pelosi Congress are wrecking our economy with their massive spending, their regulations, and tax increases. They've wasted our precious water, neglected our forests, and ruined our domestic energy industry, making us more dependent on expensive foreign oil. Their bureaucracy, their regulations, and mandates make everything cost more, crushing small business. I fight in Washington for families' needs, not some political agenda. To keep our water flowing and our crops growing, a federal government actually managing our forests to prevent devastating fires instead of watching them burn, to cut through the nonsense to help our families survive. I'm Doug LaMalfa. I approve this message, and with your support, I'll keep fighting for what's right. Paid for by the Doug LaMalfa Committee.
Welcome back to our morning show here on KCNR.
Now, tomorrow we've got Baron Browning's rolling in, and Ted Leidy's going to be the guest host tomorrow. And also, we've got a couple other guests that are U-Prep's going to come in and talk about their musical they're doing, and Ted's all over that. And like I said, Baron Browning will be on from 8 to 9. Well, Linda and I are supporting a Simpson University. They're having a golf tournament, a fundraiser out there. So we're going to go out there at 7:30
in the morning.
You know, at 30 degrees or something like that.
I'm sorry,
that's
going to
be a lot of fun.
I won't be dressed appropriately in the golf attire. I will be in fur boots. I'm sure that that is probably acceptable at maybe certain locations like Alaska.
Anyway, hey, we're here with Captain Brian Barner, who heads up the administrative division at the Reading Police Department. We've been talking about the crisis intervention team. We've been talking about recruiting and how well the police department has been doing, Reading Police Department, getting people through the field training, where it used to be a problem, is now up into the 70%. So, Linda.
I'm always curious, Brian, you've discussed the different, like, you've been in the canine unit, you've been in, patrol unit, in the years, did you say 26?
26 years.
26 years. So, what it is, and Carl was saying about every 3 years, you do another, inside another unit of some sort. So, like, today, let's just kind of give, like, a week. The day in the life of Captain Brian Barner. When you go to the station today, like, what's it look like? What are your responsibilities? What do you do?
Well, as I started out, when I told you about the administration division, I did say that my office was very close to Chief Shuler.
Yeah.
So I have big plans every morning when I get to work, and those quickly change as soon as he walks in the door.
Okay.
I think
so,
Chief Shuler says, I just ride his ass off.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
Oh, is it a one up? Is it a one up kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, you're right next door. You know, you're too close to the flagpole, yeah. Buddy.
That's right. That's right. So, no, just a little plug for Chief Shuler. I know that he's listening out
all
there.
Right.
So,
hey,
no,
buddy.
So today today I'll head back. We have three young officers, one female and two male officers that we just hired to go through the police academy. So we're doing orientation this week with them. So one is a West Valley graduate, one is a Shasta, and one is an Enterprise graduate. So we have those three locals we're sending to the Alameda Sheriff Academy. So they'll head there next week. So that's exciting, right, to have them, that energy in our office. Some of we're putting out some flyers and some publications for recruitment. Mm-hmm. So working with some of those companies. Captain's meeting after that. That's where the three captains and the chief, we get together once a week and go over everything that's going on at the police department.
Okay,
and,
cool.
Yeah, and then that trickles down to our leadership team meeting, which occurs every other week, which includes our lieutenants and watch commanders. And then we have a staff meeting, which includes all of our leadership, which is sergeants and our record supervisors, and then that gets out to all of our line personnel. So that's kind of how the communication part of the police department goes. So that's every Wednesday we meet, the three captains and the chief. This afternoon, we have a meeting with all of our instructors for active shooter. So one of our six-month goals is to do an active shooter training for not only our department, but with Reading Fire and our outside agencies. So I'll be meeting with those instructors within our department and coming up with our plan, working with SHIELD, which is our training consortium with all of our public safety partners, and coming up with a training over Christmas break, when hopefully we can use one of the college campuses or high school campuses while they're out on break.
Oh, that's fascinating.
We can get in there and do some training for right, only not only our people, but everybody.
So that's
Sheriff,
just today.
Highway Patrol, everybody, because y'all work on the same, off the same.
Absolutely. When one of these events happens, yeah, as you see in other mm-hmm, communities,
so that's
everybody
just today.
Shows up.
That's your day today.
And then anything that comes along the way. So,
whatever Shuler says,
anything,
hey.
Anything Chief Shuler can come up with.
There's always a few curveballs that come
through. That's amazing.
Now
let's go to the phones. Nick, you're on the line. Do you have a comment or a question for our guest?
I have a comment and a question. I'm a big supporter of the Reading Police Department. I think they do a tremendous job. And I would especially like to commend Chief Shuler for his major role in cleaning up the hobo camp that developed behind my house. They got it cleaned up. They're keeping it clean. Chief Shuler was one of the main drivers of getting that done quick, and I appreciate it. My question to you is, after 26 years, you've probably seen a recruit or two that probably just doesn't fit in with the direction the RPD's going. Maybe they lean a little bit more liberal than conservative or vice versa. Is there a way to ease them out of there? I suspect you can't just fire them. It's kind of probably got to be like the teachers' union. You've got to jump through hoops. Do you have that happen, and is it a problem getting rid of maybe a recruit that doesn't fit in?
So
thanks, Nick.
Yeah, the process, actually, any of our officers that come in, if it's a lateral police officer, they come in and they have a 12-month probation. Our recruits are actually on probation while they're recruits in the academy. When they become police officers, they're on probation for 18 months. So somebody that is going through the police academy is actually on probation for about 24 months. And so at any time during that process, we can release them from probation. So if they're not a fit, you know, we try to work as hard as we can through the FTO program to get them through. Everybody has issues, whether it be officer safety report writing, you know, some of our laterals that come up, they don't know the city. So it's orientation, and it's not the easiest city to navigate, and especially at 3 a.m. as a graveyard officer. So everybody has issues. So we work through that with the FTO program and the field training officer that's assigned to that person. We rotate through the program with different officers as their training officers, so they get different aspects of, you know, everybody's different. So maybe they pick a little bit from Carl and a little bit from me, and they make what kind of police officer they want to be. So we do have that process, and during that probation period, we can release them at any time. So that rolls all the way up to the chief makes the ultimate decision on that. Again, we invest a lot into the hiring process. We don't want to let people go, but also we want the best people out there working for
that
us.
That fit so. This community and fit, you know, on both ends. That it's a good fit for them, a good fit for us. So we have just a few minutes left.
I have a question.
With our Captain Brian Barner.
And I don't have enough time, so next month I'm going to probably, whoever rolls in here, if you could pass this on to them, we're going to go to cameras.
Body camera program.
Body cameras.
Yep.
And the biggest concern on that was keeping all of the massive amount of videotape or video, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, storage.
Storage.
Yeah,
thank
storage.
You.
Cloud yeah. storage or, yeah. or do you keep
How
it on site?
It? Right.
So quickly, I know we have just a little bit of time. That's also coming out of Administration Division. That's one of our projects
okay.
right now. Lieutenant Jeff Schmidt is heading that up. So policy's written. We're in the kind of the demo stage right now. So you're going to start seeing officers here pretty quick, probably within the next month. They're going to start demoing body cameras. And July 1 is our definite target date for rolling those out. But, all of our officers will be rolling with body cameras, which is a good thing. Everything is on video now. And so for our officers actually to have their own video is a good thing. And a lot of our officers that have come from other agencies had body cameras, and actually they talk highly of them because it does protect our officers. I have Chief Schuler and our command staff, we have no issues with body cameras because we know that our officers are doing the right thing. And so the body camera is just going to help us with those frivolous complaints that we get about an officer not being professional, an officer not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Oh, yeah.
When we do have video, like off of a gas station or different, mm-hmm. when we go and look at those, like, well, wait a minute, they did do what they were supposed to do. Or an officer is audio recording traffic stops. I had it in traffic a lot. Somebody would call and complain and say an officer was rude to him. And I go back as a sergeant and listen to the video recording, and the officer was totally professional with them. They just weren't happy they got a ticket. So body cameras will help with that. It'll help with the lawsuits that we have that come up from our officer-involved shootings. It'll give a better view of